very choosy when it comes to all the songs that we endeavor to sing. I think the very valuable portion of our worship service is the music. And always try to select songs that are honoring to God. Every once in a while you run into a song that maybe has a few words that need to be dickered with a little bit. But not that one. Not the one she just sang, because that's Psalm 121, verbatim. And such a blessing. If you would, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Here's my subject: established with grace. Established with grace. I have just the one verse that I want to deal with this morning and again this evening also. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. These are the duties that the inspired writer is giving to the Hebrews, giving to us. Things that we need to be very careful about. And he says this. He says, "Be not carried about with divers and," what do you call, "strange doctrines." Don't be carried about. Don't be blown around by various religious beliefs that are contrary to the Word of God. And actually, carried about means dragged away. Don't let anybody drag you away from the truth. You've heard the truth. You have the truth here. This, "Thy word is truth," is what Christ said in John 17. So you have the truth of God before you. You have Christ Jesus set before you. He is himself the full embodiment of truth, because he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." All of the truth of God is in Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody drag you away. Don't let anybody pull you away. Divert your mind's attention to another message than the message that you've been hearing. There are lots of different beliefs out there, various. The word "divers" literally is various. Various and strange doctrine. Strange means foreign. That which is foreign. Foreign to what? Foreign to the Bible. Foreign to the truth of God. You got to be very careful. There are lots of voices out here, and I'll tell you, there are voices that are quite enticing. They draw you away. They want to get followers. But he said, don't you be carried away now. Don't let anybody drag you away from the gospel. This message of redemption, of salvation by grace. I know God keeps us, and we are therefore preserved by God, but there's also perseverance. That's our responsibility. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You've got to, nobody else going to take care of you. You better take care of your own soul. You better look after your own business between you and God. And he says very specifically, Don't be carried about. If there wasn't anything to worry about, he wouldn't have given this admonition, would he? He would not have said to the Hebrews, and he would not say to us, be not carried away with divers of various and strange doctrines, if there wasn't a need to be on the alert here. That's watch out for yourself. You got to be careful who you listen to, and you got to be careful what you listen to. And then he says, for it is a good thing. You know what a good thing is? Going to the Psalms, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. But here's another good thing. It's a good thing that your heart and my heart be established with grace. And if people come along saying, grace is good, but you got to live it. There are certain duties which you must fulfill in order to be saved, such as here he lists with meats. Don't be established with meats. In other words, these outward things. Meats which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. And when he mentions meats, I think he's talking about all these outward things, outward laws and rules that people would give you. Don't pay any attention to those. Don't let anybody bring you under bondage. Don't let any religious organization lay before you certain regulations that you've got to meet. You got to do this and you got to do that. You got to do something else. Listen, we need to be established in grace. Salvation's all of grace. It began with the grace of God. God's eternal purpose of grace. His grace is manifested in the Lord Jesus in his work of redemption. We're redeemed by the grace of God made manifest in the substitutionary death of the Son of God. And it's the grace of God that is at work in us in regeneration, in the new birth, in living the daily lives that we live under God for His glory. It's the grace of God that sees us through this life. It's the grace of God that'll take us home to heaven. The Bible says, not of works. Not of works. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. Don't be occupied. All people lay down rules. Well, Christians should do this. Christians shouldn't do that. And all these rules and regulations. Certainly, the Word of God, the Scripture teaches us, the Spirit of God teaches us how to live. But listen, our works, our outward duties don't have anything to do with our acceptance before a holy God. I know that my relationship with God is not determined by anything I do. Not meats, abstaining from meats or drinks or anything else. But on the other hand, my relationship with God has everything to do with the life that I live. Now that's true. But he says very, very clearly, don't let anybody lead you away from the God, lure you away. Don't let anybody drag you away from the things of God by all kinds of different doctrines that are foreign to the Word of God. We've got to be like the Bereans. It says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because when they heard the Apostle Paul preach the Word, they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Where is a man leading you? Let's listen to the theme, to the very heart of a man's message. Is it toward grace? Grace alone? The Lord Jesus alone? Who is received by faith alone? Which is revealed in the Word of God alone? Or does he lead you toward works? Don't let anybody drag you away from this gospel. What does it mean to be established? He says it's a good thing for your heart to be established with grace or in grace. With grace or in grace. To be established is to be steady. It's to be stable. It's to be very confident and sure. Sure. Look with me at a couple of references. First of all, the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter number 2. And let me begin reading at verse 5. Look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to the believers at the church of Colossae. He says, chapter 2, verse 5, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." You're steady. You're steady. You're established. It's like you're immovable. And you hear somebody preaching a works-based salvation, you say, that's wrong. Now, that's not consistent with the Word of God. You hear somebody belittling the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as though it was ineffectual for his people, as though it's the will of man that makes it effectual. Jesus died for everybody, and now it will only be successful if you let it be successful. Don't you stand for that. You be steady now. You be steady in the gospel. The steadfastness of your faith. I won't tell you who it was, but a person told me when I was considering coming here to be the pastor and weighing it, what would God have me to do? Somebody called me up and said, "I'll tell you a negative, preacher." I said, "Well, I didn't ask you really." And so I'm going to tell you, here's a negative. It's an elderly congregation. And I said, you know what that tells me? Steadfastness. Established in the gospel. All these years, nobody's moved you. No wind of doctrine has blown you to the side. You've not followed this era or that era, things that are contrary to the Word of God. Steadfastness is what he said. Now look at verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted." Now watch this. "Rooted and built up in him and established." He says the same thing again. "Established in the faith." And he's not talking about so much believing the Lord Jesus and using that word faith, though that's true. But he's talking about the body of God's truth. He's talking about the gospel. You're established in the gospel. You're immovable. You're steady. You're confident. You're sure. You're immovable. rooted and built up in Him. Who rooted you? He rooted you. Every plant that my Father hath not planted, He'll root them up. But His people are rooted and grounded in what? The truth. As it is in Christ Jesus. Rooted and built up in Him, in Christ, and established in the faith as ye have been taught. Somebody taught you. God used a voice to teach you. It doesn't matter whose voice it was, as long as the voice, but it was the voice of one of God's servants. We don't go around and saying, well, I was converted under this man's ministry. I was converted under that man's ministry. Like you, like the Corinthians there. Some of them said, I tell you, I was saved under Paul's ministry. Well, I was saved under Simon Peter's ministry. And others said, well, I'll tell you, I was saved under Jesus' ministry. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who the mouthpiece is, as long as it's the mouthpiece of God, as long as they're telling the truth about you, telling the truth about God, telling the truth about Christ Jesus and His work of redemption, this salvation that's all of grace. Be established in this. Be rooted and built up in Him. As you have been taught, read the rest of it, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God who rooted you, who grounded you. You see, I believe this gospel for 50, 60, 70 years maybe. Was it you or was it the Lord? He rooted you. He planted you. He put you in His vineyard. And He watered you with the Word. And you've grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He adds this warning now. Look at verse 8. Beware. Beware lest any man spoil you. Somebody carry you off and enslave you. That's the same thing we're being warned about in Hebrews chapter 13. Beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy, love of wisdom, and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Somebody comes along and says, I'm going to lead you into deeper things. I tell you what, there's nothing deeper than the gospel of God's grace. This goes back to the very wisdom of God. The wisdom of God who determined how He could be just and justify folks like us. That took infinite wisdom. How can God remain holy and absolutely pure? And embrace us who are defiled, who drink iniquity like water. We're defiled from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. How can a holy God deal with us in mercy, in grace, and in justice, receive us and forget all of our sins, forgive all of our sins? It can't be done but one way, through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus the Lord. That's deep, brother. That's deep. So don't let anybody carry you off. Don't let anybody lead you astray. Here's another reference. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me give you two verses here, 20 and 21. 2 The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll look at two verses, 20 and 21. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, in Christ, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, watch this. He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Who is it that establishes us? Now, back over here in our text, we're reminded of our responsibility. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. But who really establishes us? It's God himself. It's the Lord who keeps us steady, immovable, absolutely confident. He keeps us steadfast in this gospel. Now, here's something I think that needs to be understood, and I'm going to spend the rest of my time this morning dealing with this. This establishment is in the gospel. And I want to ask you, are you established? Are you steady? Are you confident that this gospel that I preach to you is God's gospel? You hear this, you've heard this same message ever since this church was founded. You've heard from three voices. Here's what I'm asking you. Are you absolutely confident? Are you steady in your mind and in your heart that the message that goes forth to these four, in these four walls, the message that goes out on the internet, the message that I preach, that Bill preached and Henry preached, are you absolutely steadfast in your heart and mind that this is the very gospel of God and every other message is a false gospel? Anything different is a false gospel. Now this has got to be established. This has got to be settled. You see, if you think there, well, Jim, I think there's some good in every religion. And you say, well, you know, we may be a little different, but I believe that basically all religions are talking about heaven. I'm not talking about the heathens now, but basically all religions, you know, talk about God and talk about Jesus, and we're all going to heaven. If you believe that, you're not established in grace. You're not steadfast in the gospel. If you think there's some hope for your family members and your other friends and loved ones, they've got some hope of salvation with God, believing another message, you're not established in the gospel. I had a lady, she just about broke my heart one time. Her sister died. And I've at a funeral home, not here, another city. And I went visit, you know, and she's down at the casket. She said, you know, Jim, if there's ever a woman that I know's in heaven, it's my sister. She's the best woman I ever knew in my life. You just never know how many good deeds she did for people. That's awful. That's awful. Hey, I'm glad she did good deeds for people, but that's not why she's in heaven. In fact, if that's what she's depending on, she's not there. She got no hope at all. Hey, be a good person. Absolutely. Treat people right. Sure. Do good deeds. Absolutely on that too. But remember this, God only accepts you for Christ's sake. Is that clear?
Amen.
It doesn't have anything to do with your deeds, with your doings. You say, I don't talk filthy, I behave myself, I'm faithful to my spouse, I don't curse, I don't swear, I don't get drunk, I don't do all these. Well, whoopee for you! That doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. I'm glad you live in a life of morality. That's commendable among men. But that won't get you anywhere with God. You see, God is only impressed with His darling Son. That's all God's impressed with. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hear Christ Jesus. He says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He didn't say, now do good works, and you'll enter into heaven. He said, by me. He said, I'm the way. You see, there are a multitude of voices out here. You know that. All kind of messages. But there's just one faith. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. There's one faith. There's one Lord, one faith. There's one body of truth. That's all there is. There are not many ways. There are not many gospels. It's just one gospel. Read again Galatians chapter 1. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I'm shocked. I'm amazed that you're led away from this gospel to these other messages, and they're not the gospel. There's just one true gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the gospel of salvation by grace alone, in Christ Jesus alone. Are you established in the gospel? Now, if you should ask me, well, Brother Jim, how do you know that the gospel you preach and the gospel you believe is the one true gospel of the Bible? If you were to ask me that, this is what I'd say. I'd say I do believe that the gospel I embrace and the gospel I hang my soul on, the gospel that is all my hope, I believe it's a true gospel, and I'll tell you why. Can I tell you real quick? Number one, I'll tell you why I believe this gospel that I preach is the one true gospel. You can quote me, jot these things down. Whoever you talk to in any religion, it don't matter to me. Tell them this is what I said. I believe that this gospel I preach and that I believe is the one true gospel. I'll tell you why. Number one, it's the gospel of the Old Testament. It's the same gospel of the Old Testament. I would ask you this, and I'd ask other preachers this. Can you find your gospel in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament? I can very easily. Now, if you happen to believe in baptismal regeneration, you're going to have a bit of a tough time. But if you believe in salvation by grace, through the right sacrifice offered to God, you're on good ground. It's the gospel of the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament is not the message for the Jews, and then the New Testament, the message for the Gentiles, and the Jews were saved one way, and the Gentiles saved another way. Don't believe that reference Bible that saves that says in the Old Testament they were saved under by law, and in the New Testament saved by grace. Listen, anybody who's ever saved is saved by grace. Law has never saved anybody. The law was given to drive us to Christ Jesus. The law shows us our sinfulness. It doesn't even show us a better way. It's cut and dry. This do and live, disobey and die. That's the message of the law. The law backs us in a corner with no way out. And says, God demands perfection. You can't produce it. You're a goner. I'm going to damn you. That's what the law says. It's the sweetness of the gospel that comes in and says, what the law cannot do in that was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the shape and the likeliness of sinful flesh, He condemns sin in the flesh. That's what the gospel says. It's the gospel of the Old Testament. I look in the Old Testament, I preach the gospel from just about anywhere. Let me pull one out of the hat. Israel, on their way through the wilderness to the promised land, got no water. You got hundreds of thousands of people. They don't have any water. They murmured against Moses and said, what, have you brought us out here in the wilderness to kill us and our children and our cattle? Water's a necessity of life. We know that. Had to have water to drink, water to cook with, water to bathe, water for their cattle, for their sheep. And Moses went to the Lord and said, Lord, these people are ready to stone me. And the Lord said, take that rod with which you smote the Red or the Nile River in judgment. It turned to blood. That rod was a rod of judgment. You take it up here to a rock that I'll show you on Mount Horeb. And take the elders of Israel with you. Then I want you to take that rod of judgment, that rod that speaks of the wrath of God, the just wrath and anger and vengeance of God. I want you to smite that rock. And he did. And you know what happened? Water came out. An abundance of water, a river of water. It came out and people were amazed and refreshed. Where's the gospel in that, preacher? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, that rock, that was Christ. And that rod of judgment, that's the wrath of God. Raised up against the Son of God when He died in our room, stead and place. When He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. When He took our great debt upon Himself. When all the sins of all of His people of all the ages were made to meet on Him. The rod of God's justice smote Him. And then, out from His wounded side, rivers of mercy is flowing. Out from His wounded side. You know that song? Out from His wounded side. It's a river of water for thirsty sinners. Are you thirsty? Jesus stood and He cried, saying on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Let him come. I don't care who you are. If you thirsty for forgiveness. You thirsty for righteousness. You thirsty for a hope here. You thirsty for glory later. You thirsty for God. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after the living God. If you're thirsty, He said, let him come to me and drink. I'm the fountain of water. Your soul will be refreshed. Therefore, Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 12, therefore with joy shall we draw water from the wells of salvation. Come and draw forth water. Drink to your soul's contentment. Because the rock of our salvation has been smitten by God Himself. See, I can preach the gospel from the Old Testament. I love to do that. Why do I believe this gospel is the very gospel of God? Because this is the gospel declared in the Old Testament. That rock was Christ. We sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That was a rock smitten for us. Secondly, why do I believe this gospel I preach and that you've heard preached all these years? Why do I believe this is the gospel which is the gospel of God and we're to be established in this gospel? Number two, because this is the gospel our Lord Jesus preached. Scripture says in Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. He went to a man, or a man came to him at night, Nicodemus. You know what our Lord Jesus did? Preached the gospel to him. Yeah, he did. Nicodemus thoroughly indoctrinated in the history of Israel. And he knew all about the miracles that God performed while they were traveling through the wilderness. And our Lord Jesus looked at him and said, now, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Nicodemus, you remember Moses lifting up that serpent, don't you? He'd say, uh-huh. I've taught it many times over here in the seminary. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness because people had been bitten by fiery serpents, our Lord Jesus said to him, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Just like Moses lifted up that brazen serpent, I must be lifted up. I must be. God decreed it. I must be. God's justice demands it. I must be. Because I've covenanted with my Father to be lifted up to die the death of the cross. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I must be. Our Lord Jesus preached. You know, that's substitution is what that is. That's satisfaction. Whosoever believeth, and whoever believed, whoever looked by faith upon that serpent of brass, they said, oh my, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm not dying anymore. And I'm telling you, look to Christ Jesus for everlasting life. You look to Him for your righteousness. You can say by the authority of God, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. Christ died for you. He was judged for you. He took your place. I know this gospel I preach to you is the gospel of God because it's the gospel of the Old Testament. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you thirdly, it's the gospel declared by the apostles. They went forth preaching the gospel. And I read passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's what the apostle Paul said. For I delivered unto you also that which I first received. Because I heard the gospel. Would you hear? I heard how that Christ died. How did he die? As a substitute, as a sin offering, as a sacrifice, as a sovereign. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The same message that the apostles preached. Same message the evangelists preached. Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading Isaiah 53. He preached to him Jesus. Gospel I preach, same gospel as the Old Testament. Same gospel the Lord Jesus preached. Same gospel his apostles preached and the evangelists preached. And I'll tell you this, it's the only message that gives all glory to God. That's right. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 29. Or verse 30. It's just, I'll read 30 and 31. But of him, of God are you in Christ Jesus. You know who joined you to Christ Jesus? God did. He did before the world began. There's the eternal union of the Lamb of God with his sheep. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us everything we need. I tell you, we're well supplied in Christ Jesus. Every need is met because he's been made of God to be our wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Everything you need. Like Charlotte Elliott wrote in that song, Just As I Am. All I need in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come. Everything I need's in him. I don't need anything else. I need him. I need him. So we find in him everything we need. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's the only message that gives God all the glory. There isn't the least amount of wiggle room for man's efforts or works to get in there anywhere. And here's the steadfast rule by which you should judge what a man is saying. Who is getting the glory? You listen to this man preach. Listen to some television preacher preach or radio preach, whoever it is. Here's the steadfast rule. Who is getting the glory? I mean all of it. Who is getting all of the glory? Is salvation ultimately dependent upon what the sinner does? Or is it all of God? You got to put every preacher to that test. It don't matter to me who he is. Well, I'm afraid, I wouldn't want to hurt preacher's feelings or, if I cease to listen to him. Listen, I don't care about preacher's feelings. I'm not too interested in your feelings. Hey, I want to make sure I got the right gospel. I got a lot at stake here in this. Forgive me if I'm being selfish, but I want to make sure this is right. And I don't care whose feelings it hurts. But I tell you, if I believe this gospel, my family would be real disappointed in me. I'd rather my family be disappointed than God angry with me. Wouldn't you? I don't have to stand before my family at the judgment, but I got to stand before God. And I don't want to stand there with some kind of substitute righteousness that is in competition with the righteousness of his darling son. Amen. Whew, don't want to do that. I just say to my family, listen, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but whatever you want to believe, have at it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I'm going to believe this gospel. This gospel. This gospel that's the gospel of the Old Testament. This gospel that's the gospel of my blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This gospel that is the gospel of the apostles. This gospel that gives all glory to God. And I give you one more. This gospel that is the very power of God unto salvation that everybody believes. And no other message got power to save anybody. Because God's not going to use any other message to save anybody. Here's what the apostle said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. But it doesn't matter whether it's Jew or Greek. This gospel is the very dynamite of God. Just set it forth. Just tell sinners about Christ and His work of redemption. You see, that I'm established in this, aren't you? I'm just settled on this. I'm immovable. There are a lot of things I'll compromise with you and maybe bend over backwards to get along with you on other areas. That's fine, but not on this area now. Not when it comes to how God saves sinners. Not as to the gospel. Be established in grace. In grace. Let's sing a